And good morning. As you can see, we're not in the Kennard Friends Church this morning. I think most of you know that Jane and I took a vacation. We've been down to the panhandle of Florida for this past week. The Sunshine State, at least that's what they call it. I'm going to rename it, though, the Liquid Sunshine State. Yeah, we've had a lot of rain and cool temperatures this week. In fact, I've even renamed the panhandle to the Umbrella Handle. So, but I'll start to rein in some of these jokes about the weather and get down to something serious for today's message. And before I get today's message, can I just ask for you to be praying for me? I've had back issues for a long time, knee issues, but I have a spinal stenosis, and it has really acted up just as of last night and this morning, to the point it's almost unbearable to stand up or to walk. So I know that there's power in prayer, and I know that prayer is powerful. I think of it like in the math example. If you take 10 plus 10 plus 10, you get 30. Well, that's not bad. That's really good. But if you take 10 times 10 times 10, you get 1,000. And I think that's the way prayer works. It works exponentially. It's 10 to the power of 3. It's whatever to the power of 3. So, again, I'd appreciate your prayers. Jan and I are going to start to head home right after this message, and we'll stay overnight halfway home and then be home sometime tomorrow. The title of today's message is Real Faith Produces Good Deeds. Probably everyone watching me this morning has something in your wallet, and it's called a driver's license. And you have to use that driver's license many times to verify that you are who you say you are. It's an ID. You know, when you go to the stores and use a credit card, a lot of times they'll want to see your driver's license. If you go to the airport, you need to show your driver's license. Check into a hotel. I mean, on and on and on. There's so many things that you need a driver's license to verify. It's an ID to verify that you are who you say you are. Well, likewise, there is a spiritual driver's license that we can carry that tells others that we are a believer, that we do have faith in Jesus Christ. And that driver's license, that spiritual driver's license, is actually good deeds. And so what I'm going to do this morning, I'm going to go to James chapter 2. James is a book toward the end of the New Testament. And I'm going to read all of chapter 2 eventually. That's what I'll teach on today. But I'm going to start with a key verse in James chapter 2, verses 14 to 17. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye and have a good day. Stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, and here's the key, faith by itself is not enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Well, in essence, good deeds are the natural byproduct of real, true, genuine faith. Let me say that again. In essence, good deeds are the natural byproduct of real, true, and genuine faith. Now, let's talk about byproducts, and I think we're familiar with that term, but let me just give some examples. First of all, a byproduct is a secondary product that's derived from the manufacturing process or a chemical reaction of some kind. Let me give you some specific examples. There's byproducts from animals. For instance, lanolin is from the cleaning of wool. leather is from the hides and skins from the slaughterhouse operations. Whey, for all those Little Miss Muffet fans, whey is from cheese manufacturing, a byproduct. And then there's some vegetable byproducts. Bran and germ are from the milling of whole grains into refined grains. Grapeseed oil is recovered from the leftovers of the winemaking process. Molasses comes from sugar refining. Orange oil and other citrus oils are recovered from the peels of processed fruit. Pectin is recovered from the remains of processed fruit. Sawdust and bark, obviously from the processing of logs into lumber. And then straw comes from grain harvesting. It's a natural byproduct that happens when the grain is harvested. You get straw. And then one last category, minerals and petrochemicals. Asphalt. Boy, we need that for our Indiana roads, don't we? But asphalt comes from the refining of crude oil. Fly ash is a byproduct from the combustion of coal. Gypsum is from flue gas desulfurization. Helium from natural gas extraction. Mineral oil from refining crude oil to produce gasoline. And the last one is salt is a byproduct from desalinization. Again, byproducts are not the primary product being produced. It's something secondary, but it's naturally produced. So again, our message today, good deeds are a natural byproduct of our real, true, genuine faith. So now let's go through the entire chapter 2 of James, starting with verse 1 through verse 26. First of all, this is James, Jesus' half-brother, not the Apostle James. And this was probably one of the earliest letters written. It was written to new Jewish Christians about 15 years after Christ's death and resurrection. And many of these new Christians were scattered throughout the Roman world. James continues teaching us what real, true, genuine faith looks like. So let's start with verse 1. My dear brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others? For example, suppose someone comes into your meeting dressed in fancy clothes and expensive jewelry, and another comes in who is poor and dressed in dirty clothes. If you give special attention and a good seat to the rich person, but you say to the poor one, you can stand over there or else sit on the floor. Well, doesn't this discrimination show that your judgments are guided by evil motives? It was a beautiful Sunday morning. People were filling the church to its fullest capacity. As they entered, each were given a bulletin filled with announcements, topics of today's sermon, what songs they would sing, and who to pray for. At the end of the line stood an older man. His clothes were filthy, and you could tell he had not bathed in days. His face was covered in whiskers, kind of like mine. I haven't shaved the whole time I've been on vacation. His face was covered with whiskers where he had not shaved for a very long time. When he reached the usher, he removed his tattered old brown hat in respect. His hair was long, dirty, and a tangled mess. He had no shoes on his feet and wore only soiled black socks. The usher put his finger to his nose and glared at the old man and said, I'm sorry, sir, but I'm afraid we can't let you in. You will distract the congregation, and we don't allow anyone to disrupt our service. I'm afraid you'll have to leave. The old man looked down at himself, and with a puzzled look on his face, he placed his old brown hat back on his head and turned to leave. He was sad as he loved to hear the choir sing praises to the Lord. He loved to watch the little children get up in front of the church to sing their little songs. He carried in his pocket a small worn-out Bible and loved to see if the minister preached a passage from the Bible that the old man had underlined. He was respectful enough and didn't want to cause any commotion, so he hung down his head and walked back down the steps of the big brick church. He sat down on the brick wall near the edge of the church yard and strained to listen through the closed doors and windows to the singing going on in the church. Oh, how he wished he could be inside with the others. Well, a few minutes had passed when all of a sudden a younger man came up behind him and sat down near him. He asked the old man what he was doing, and he answered, "I was going to go to church today, but they thought I was filthy, and my clothes are old and worn, and they were afraid I would disrupt their service. Sorry, I didn't introduce myself. My name is George." Well, the two gentlemen shook hands, and George couldn't help to notice that this man had long hair like his. He wore a piece of cloth draped over his body, tied with a purple royal sash. He had sandals upon his feet, now covered with dust and dirt. The stranger had reached out to touch George's shoulder and said, "Well, hello, George. Don't feel bad because they won't let you in. My name is Jesus, and I've been trying to get into this same church for years, and they won't let me in either." When we show discrimination like this, we reveal our claim to faith is not real. If we show an attitude of partiality to the haves while ignoring the have-nots, then we have an attitude of sin. See, God views all people as equal. In fact, when you read all about Jesus, who did he spend more time with? The haves or the have-nots? Well, James continues with verse 5. "Listen to me, dear brothers and sisters. Hasn't God chosen the poor in this world to be rich in faith? Aren't they the ones who will inherit the kingdom? Aren't they the ones who will inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? But you dishonor the poor. Isn't it the rich who oppress you and drag you into court? Aren't they the ones who slander Jesus Christ, whose name you bear? Yes, indeed, it is good when you obey the royal law as found in the scriptures. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you favor some people over others, you are committing a sin. You are guilty of breaking the law." Now, what is the royal law? Well, in John chapter 5, verse 12, it says this. "This is my commandment." This is what Jesus is saying. "This is my commandment. Love each other as I have loved you. No greater love than to lay down one's life for a friend." Now, we may not have to die, and for sure we probably won't have to die for someone, but there's always a way to practice sacrificial love. Some examples I have here: listening, helping, encouraging, or giving. I have mentioned at the beginning of the message today, I'm having some real pain with my back today. I also have knees that don't work so well at age 65 now. And then I had a workplace injury a couple years ago, and I have a partial disability to my right arm. So when it comes to being able to show sacrificial love by helping, well, I can't do much physical help to folks. One of the examples I gave was giving. And I will tell you that I've learned, God has shown me how to be a better giver in recent years. The last couple decades it started, and really even in the last couple years, I would say even more so. But listening and encouraging, I feel like those are the two ways that, for me, that's how I'm able to really show sacrificial love to others. I love to listen to people. When I go to Ben's Bar on Taco Tuesday, I'm not going there to talk necessarily, although I do talk, and I do eat tacos, but I mainly go to listen, and I mainly go to encourage, and that's what I hope to do with all of my church family, those that attend Kennard Friends, those that attend Caddis Friends, those at Ben's Bar, and all of you that are watching on Facebook. If there's any way I can listen, if there's any way I can encourage, that's what I want to do. And if you're not associated with any of these things, I'm still going to look for ways to listen and encourage. Well, James continues in verse 10. For the person who keeps all the laws except one is as guilty as the person who's broken all of God's laws. For the same God who said, you must not commit adultery, also said you must not murder. So if you murder someone but do not commit adultery, you've still broken the law, all of the law. Now, this is not a license to sin. Just because I break one law doesn't mean, okay, since I'm guilty of breaking the law, I might as well do everything. This is not a license to sin. James is not telling us that. But it's an encouraging reminder to take our sins to Jesus, as he alone carries what I would call the checkbook that can make the payments for our sin. Verse 12. So whatever you say or whatever you do, remember that you will be judged by the law that sets you free. There will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. And you see, as Christians, we're saved by God's free gift, which is grace. And as I'm talking about this subject of good deeds are a natural byproduct of our true and real and genuine faith, I don't ever want us to be confused that our good deeds are equal to salvation or are what get us salvation. That is never the case. The Bible is very, very clear that the only way we can be saved is by the free gift of God, his grace, and not by anything, any works or deeds that we can do. Otherwise, we could brag about it, and that's not going to happen. There's nothing we can do to earn salvation. The point of the message, the point that James is sharing with us today, is that when we are saved, when we have accepted Jesus' free gift of salvation by grace through faith, then good deeds should be a natural byproduct. It's our ID card. It's our spiritual driver's license that shows other people that we do have this true, genuine faith. Well, let me read one more time as we're continuing through James chapter 2. The verses I started off with. For what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, and have a good day. Stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? Let me say this. Faith is not just a feeling. Faith is an action. Faith is not just a feeling. Faith is an action. Well, I'm going to finish up the verses of James chapter 2, verse 17. So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith and others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds, James says. You say you have faith for you believe that there is one God. Well, good for you Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? And then it's interesting how James ends this part of his letter. He gives us two examples of Bible characters from the Old Testament that show that their faith produced good deeds. Verses 21 through the end. Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened just as the righteous, just as the scriptures say, Abraham believed God and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. And then he mentions Rahab the prostitute as another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. So just like molasses is the natural byproduct from refining sugar, let our good deeds be the natural byproduct of our true and real and genuine faith. How sweet would that be? Now, as I always end with this, go and be blessed, and be a blessing by doing a good deed for someone today.